May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. When our son Michael was about 2 1/2, I can distinctly remember him following George around the garden one morning, doing exactly what George was doing, his hands behind his back, stopping when George stopped and looking intently at whatever it was his father was looking at. And it didn't stop with behavior either. He used to delight in using the same words and expressions. One day, when George was helping him to get dressed, Michael insisted on pulling his socks up to their full length over his knees. George would fold them down again, and Michael would pull them up again. Finally, George lost patience and said to Michael, "All right, pull them over your bloody knees." Thereafter, for some weeks, every time Michael put on his socks, he would stretch them up as high as they would go and say to anyone who happened to be nearby, "Pulling them over my bloody knees." Children are great imitators. We as Christians, as children of God, also are to be imitators. In our New Testament reading this morning, Paul says to the believers at Ephesus, "Be imitators of God as beloved children." What a wonderful way of describing how we are to live. What a wonderful way of expressing the truth of God's grace and God's love towards us. Our life as Christians is not about keeping a code of rules. We're not subject to Jewish or any other code of law. We are free from the demands of the law and saved through God's grace. At the same time, if we are to be imitators of God, we will want to adopt the moral law of God as a way of life, as a free choice, because we desire to please God, God who has given us so much. We seek to imitate God just as a small child instinctively wants to please his or her parents, as an expression of his love, his or her love for those parents. We seek to imitate God because we want to mirror the love that we have been shown by God in Christ. Law for us has become love. Our actions are motivated not by an external set of rules which we must keep in order to win God's favor, but rather by an internal response to what God has already done for us. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." As imitators of God, we are to spend our living in love, using as our example the life that Christ lived among us. This is something that's made very clear in our gospel reading this morning. It is the day after Jesus has miraculously fed a crowd of 5,000 over on the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And then, where the crowd wanted to make him king, he escaped up a mountain on his own. Moreover, his disciples had also left the scene by boat. Our reading today finds all of them, Jesus, the disciples, and many of the crowd, back in Capernaum. The crowd, buoyed up by the food that they had received the previous day, had been searching for Jesus, hoping for another free lunch. But that was not to be. Rather than providing the crowd with physical food, Jesus challenged them to seek the imperishable food, which is theirs if they listen to him, bread given by God from heaven, a bread much superior to the manna given to their ancestors in the wilderness. And the general response of the crowd is, "Give us this bread always." And this is where our gospel reading for today begins. Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. This indeed is the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life." Wonderful words. Words not just for the crowd at Capernaum, but also for us. However, there's also another group there with the crowd. John refers to them as the Jews, the religious leaders of the community, a group who see themselves as much more learned than the hoi polloi. They begin complaining because Jesus said, "I am the bread come down from heaven." The issue is not that they didn't believe that God provides or that God feeds. After all, the story of God's provision of manna to their ancestors in the wilderness was one of the central tenets of their faith in God. The issue was that they knew who Jesus was and who his mom and dad were. They knew where he was from. He was the kid from Nazareth. How could he claim to be from heaven? That was definitely a problem for these religious people. They knew just enough that they couldn't know anything more or consider that there could be more to know. They believed Nazareth and heaven were mutually exclusive. Jesus couldn't be from heaven because he was from Nazareth. On the surface, this seems to be a conflict between Jesus and the Jews. But in reality, the conflict is not outside of the Jews, it's within them. That's how it is with conflict. Conflict originates within us and gets projected out and onto and fought about with one another. The conflict for the Jews was not so much about Jesus, but about their own frame of reference, the box that they had created for God. Jesus challenges them to step out of the established, comfortable, and familiar context that they've created for themselves. He refuses to be limited by either their understandings or their misunderstandings. He invites them to live a new life, a larger life, a life that springs from but is not bound by the past or the context that they have created for themselves. He invites them to eat new bread. What John is really referring to here as he outlines his conflict is about any person or group who opposes Jesus, who refuses to see and understand the signs, anyone who would separate the gift of bread from the giver of life. Now, this refers not just to the religious leaders and authorities of Jesus' day, but to anyone who acts this way here and now. We're not so different from these religious leaders. We too have our own frames of reference. And sometimes we use our frame of reference to try and contain or control God. Other times we use it to exclude God from various parts of our lives. The problem is not that we have a frame of reference, but that our frame originates with us rather than with God. When we live only from our personal frame of reference, we live hungry, empty lives. Jesus points out to his critics that although their ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, all of their ancestors died. He states that the nourishment, the bread that he brings, is a symbol of the new life that he also brings to all who receive him. We too can find ourselves working for manna rather than opening ourselves to receive the gift of the bread of life. No matter how much manna we collect and eat, we can never satisfy ourselves. Manna might fill our bellies, but it leaves our souls grumbling. Often the things we have done and left undone prevent us from eating the bread of life. Sometimes our patterns of thinking, believing, the way that we see the world and each other and ourselves convince us that there is no other bread. And we should just settle for the same old manna that our ancestors ate in the wilderness, so to speak. We're comfortable enough with the things of the past. Why would we look for new ways of doing things, new ways of living our faith. Sometimes our history, fears and anxiety, guilt, regrets, pain and losses become so firmly established that we are deceived into believing that we're not even hungry for the food that God gives us. Well, my friends, it doesn't have to be like that. The table of God is set, and there's a place for each one of us. We're not destined to eat manna for the rest of our lives. Our frame of reference, our past history, neither earns us nor keeps us from the bread of life. Rather, the living bread that has come down from heaven to feed each one of us is there every moment of every day. God invites us to eat new bread, to step out of our old context into a new way of living and being. God invites us to be imitators of Christ. God gives us the bread from heaven, knowing that we are hungry. Our conflicts, our restlessness, our deep longings, our desires to love and be loved, our hunger pains by the Father, by which the Father draws us to his Son, the one who said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." God wants to give us holy bread for holy hunger, the gift of God for the people of God. Amen.